Hello, this is Pastor Ryan Clark. You are listening to a message from St. John's Lutheran Church in Buffalo, Minnesota.
Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. A married couple was celebrating their 60th wedding anniversary. And at the party, everybody had the same question for this couple. They wanted to know how they managed to stay married so long in this day and age. The husband responded, "When we were first married, we came to an agreement. I would make all the major decisions, and my wife would make all of the minor decisions." At which point the wife interjected, "And in 60 years of marriage, we have never needed to make a major decision." Well, as we continue our sermon series, Good to His Word, looking at God's amazing promises for our lives, God knows that we're going to have to make a whole lot of decisions in our lives, some major and some minor. And God has made us an amazing promise. Here's His promise. God promises to guide us through our decisions, big and small, as we call on Him. What a promise, isn't it? You say, "Well, yeah, it's not too bad." Well, look at this. How many decisions does the average person make each day? I looked this up this week. There was actually a study that was done on this a few years ago. The average decisions, not just big, but big and small decisions that the average person makes each and every day, over 35,000 decisions. That's a lot of decisions. And some of those are, what am I going to eat for lunch, you know, and others have more weight to them. Am I going to take this job? Am I going to marry this person? You know, big decisions. And isn't it wonderful to know that the Bible is crystal clear that God wants to go with us into each one of those decisions and help us to make good decisions. There are some tough decisions ahead in every one of our lives. If you haven't had any for a while, you probably will pretty soon. But the beautiful thing is that because of what Jesus did, we'll come back to this later, because of what Jesus did on the cross, you never have to make those decisions on your own. And we see this everywhere. It's not only in the New Testament, it's in the Old Testament as well. In one of the most beloved passages, Psalm 23, the shepherd psalm, it says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake." In just three verses, God says He leads us twice. God wants to lead us in our life. Psalm 73, "Nevertheless, I'm continually with you," God says, "and you hold my right hand. You guide me with your counsel. And afterward, you will receive me to glory." God says that He's going to guide us with His good counsel as we call on Him. In Proverbs 3, it says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding." Don't just depend on your own understanding to make your decisions, but in all your ways submit to God, and He will make your paths straight. He'll straighten out your paths so that you're making good decisions that are going to bless you, that are going to bless your family, that are going to bless your community, and most importantly, that are going to bless God Himself. And then in the New Testament, in John chapter 10, Jesus says it this way. He says, "When He has brought out all of His own, He goes on ahead of them, and His sheep follow Him because they know His voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from Him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice." Jesus says, "I'm the good shepherd and you're my sheep." and sheep recognize their shepherd's voice. Did you know God has a voice? He has to have a voice. If he's going to lead us, he's got to have a way of communicating with us. A little bit later on, he says, I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also, and they too will listen to my voice. And there shall be one flock and one shepherd. Who's he talking about? Who are these sheep that are not of the original sheepfold that he's brought in to his sheepfold? That's us. That's us. That's the Gentiles. Originally, it was God came for the Jewish people. But now, in Jesus, he has included all people. He says, there are sheep that are not a part of my original sheepfold, but I'm bringing them in, and they too are going to listen to my voice. So God expects that we're going to learn how to listen to his voice. And then finally, he says, my sheep, what do? They listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. That's God's promise to us. And because of that, he makes this great promise in James 1. He says, if any of you lacks wisdom in making decisions, you should ask God, who will give generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea blown and tossed by the wind. That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Such a person is double-minded and unstable in all they do. Because of Jesus, now God invites us to come before him with any questions of what I need to do or where I need to go. Bring those before him. If anyone lacks wisdom, he will give generously without finding fault. In other words, no matter what you've done, no matter how far away you've been from God, if you go to him asking him for guidance, he will always give it. And that's why he says, so when you ask, don't think, well, maybe he will, maybe he won't. Know that he's gonna. And then start looking for that guidance in whatever way God wants to bring it. As Pastor Ryan said last week, one of the promises that God has made to us is this: he is unchanging. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so if we want to know what God is like in our day and age, we go back to the words of Scripture and say, how did he act toward the people back then? How did he speak to the people back then? Because if he hasn't changed, if he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, then he's going to have the same methods of speaking to us today. And if we want to be those sheep that recognize his voice, then we have to go back to see what did his voice sound like in the Bible so that we can recognize it when it comes, when we ask him, God, what should I do? So if you look in the words of Scripture, you see that God has lots of different ways of speaking to his people. And for the remainder of our message, we're going to look at some of those here today. Now, by far and away, the number one way that God is going to answer you and speak to you and guide you is through his word. And what a perfect message this is for Reformation Sunday, because that's what Martin Luther and the Reformers 500 years ago, that's what they brought back to the church. The fact that God's word is indeed God's word, every single word of it. And the number one way that he speaks to us is through his word. Just like Kelly said a few minutes ago, the Bible says, your word, God, is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. That's what God wants to do with his word. He wants to lighten our path so that we know what we are to do in decisions big and small. In 2 Timothy 3, it says, all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work that God gives to us. It's God-breathed. It's useful to God in teaching us, in rebuking us and saying, you're going the wrong way, in training us for what God would have for us to do. And I love this passage from Hebrews 4. It says, for the word of God is alive and active. It's sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. When you open up the Bible, you're opening up a book that is different than any other book that has ever been written since the dawn of humanity. Why? Because that book is alive. In other words, the words may have been written 2,000, 3,000 years ago, but God can take that living book, and as you open it, as you seek the Lord, He can take those ancient words off the page and speak directly to you for whatever situation you're in. The number one way that God is going to speak to you and to me is through His Word. And so what does that mean? That means if we want to hear from God, if we need His direction, we got to open His living Word and read it on a regular basis. And God will use that to speak to us. How else does God speak? What else does His voice sometimes look like? Well, sometimes God will give you the answer to your questions through other Christian people. In Proverbs 12, it says, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but a wise man listens to advice. Nobody wants to be called a fool, right? What is a fool? A fool is somebody that says, according to Proverbs 12, I don't need anybody else. I don't need to take anybody else's advice. I got this on my own. What is a wise man? A wise person is someone that listens to advice. And if God wants to speak to me, sometimes through other people, then if I ignore other people's advice, I may be inadvertently ignoring God and the answer to the question that I was seeking. In Proverbs 15, it says, without counsel, plans fail, but with many advisors, they succeed. Now, we got to make sure that the ones that we ask advice of are reputable. That's why I say it's good to ask other Christian people, because chances are, if they're Christian people, they are praying people as well. And so if you say, boy, I really don't know what to do, can you help me with this decision? Then maybe another Christian person will say, I will. Let me start praying for you. And maybe God will give that person an answer for your question. So God speaks through His Word first and foremost. Secondly, He speaks through other Christian people. How else does the Bible say that He speaks to us? He speaks sometimes through a still, small voice. Where do we get this? In 1 Kings chapter 19, the Lord takes His servant Elijah and He says, go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by. Then a great and powerful wind tore apart the mountains and shattered the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. What was God teaching Elijah and teaching us? He was teaching us what His voice sounds like. Elijah experienced all of this crazy stuff, a wind that was so powerful that it broke apart rocks, earthquakes, fires. this big things, and sometimes we think that God's voice is going to thunder from heaven in answer to our prayers. But what did Elijah find out that day? When God finally did speak, it came through a gentle whisper. Oftentimes, God's voice is whispered. In other words, if we're not listening, really listening, we may miss it. In Isaiah 30, it says, whether you turn to the right or to the left, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. Now, it's not necessarily talking about these ears, but the ears of your heart. But that's the Holy Spirit. That's the still small voice that is always whispering to your heart as you're listening. Go this direction. Don't do this. This is the way of wisdom. This is the way of foolishness. So he speaks through his word. He speaks through Christian people. He also speaks sometimes through that still small voice of the Holy Spirit. Number four, sometimes he speaks through open and shut doors. Open and shut doors. In Revelation 3, it says, and to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, the words of the Holy One, the true one, who has the key of David, who opens and no one will shut, who shuts and no one opens. I know your works. Behold, I have set before you an open door, which no one is able to shut. God sometimes guides us through open or shut doors. Another way that I've understood that is kind of like putting a hurdle in front of you. Sometimes if you're going the wrong direction and God knows better than we do what the wrong or the right direction is, sometimes he'll put a hurdle in front of you. And then I have two choices. I can recognize the hurdle is from God and go a different direction, or I can do my best to get over it and keep going, but that's inadvisable. We see this in Acts chapter 16. This is how God even guides the Apostle Paul. It says, Paul and his companions traveled throughout the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. When they came to the border of Mysia, they tried to enter Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to. So they passed by Mysia and went down to Troas. So here we have the greatest missionary that has ever lived on the planet, and he doesn't always know what's right. He's using sometimes his own thoughts. Hey, you know what would be great? If we would go to Phrygia and Galatia, to go to the province of Asia. And so they start on this path, and God puts a roadblock in front of them. And so they stop and they turn around and they say, well, how about this direction? And they start going this way, another roadblock. Well, then what do? God? During the night, Paul had a vision of a man of Macedonia standing and begging him, come over to Macedonia and help us. After Paul had seen the vision, we got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. So God goes, roadblock, roadblock, what do? And God says, this is going to be the open door. And the way that he gave that open door was through a vision. And that leads to number five. How does our unchanging God sometimes guide us? Through dreams and visions. Now, maybe you're asking this question, does God still speak through visions and dreams? Like, I'm not sure he does, Pastor. Well, once again, if we're going to let the Bible determine what is true and what isn't, look at this passage from Acts 2. So this is after Jesus was here, after he died, after he rose again, after he ascended up into heaven. It says this, in the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions, and your old men will dream dreams. Here's a promise, right? There's going to be visions. There's going to be dreams. And when is that going to happen? In the last days. Here's a question. What days come after the last days? No days, right? The last means the last. And so we are in the last days before Jesus Christ comes again. If there was ever going to be a time that there were going to be dreams and visions, it's right now. I've got just a couple of short videos here. The first one is, this is a Jewish lady that was not even looking necessarily for Jesus, but God used a dream to reach her with the gospel of Jesus.
I need someone to save me from this, and I don't know how, and I'm breaking down. I go to sleep one night, and I hear my mother waking me up and saying, "Beat, cool me, cool me." She says, wake up, Yeshua is the Messiah. That morning I woke up. I just, something changed me. That was not a dream. I know it was not a dream because, first of all, I didn't know who Yeshua was. I never heard that name. But I know she was talking about Jesus for some reason. I didn't know who was it. And then the next night I go to sleep and Greg was telling me, "Liat, you're yelling Yeshua, Yeshua through your sleep." I knew that what he was saying was right. I just was afraid, you know, that he would, what is he going to think about me? I told him, "I think I believe in Yeshua." The next night I went on my knees and I said, "Abba, Adonai, if this is true, could you give me one more dream? I don't know. I said, could you give me one more dream?" And I went to sleep and I had one more dream. And I woke up and I knew, I said, this is it. I know that Jesus is my Messiah. And
here's one more. This is a Muslim man from the Middle East that once again was not necessarily looking for Jesus, but God used a dream to get to him.
"I was fed up. I came back home, many problems, many things that I cannot bear myself. And I looked at the sky and I said, you know what? You are so big for me. I cannot find you. Please do something. I'm too small for you. Just do something and find me. It's not hard for you. You are there." On this night, I slept. And in my dreams, I saw that I'm running in a very long road. A lot of tree branches full of thorns chasing me want to kill me. And at the end of the road, there were a man that I do not recognize. And I shouted, "Please help me, do something." He just extended his hand, put his hand on my shoulder and brought me before him. And once he looked at me, I found out that this is Jesus Christ. He looked deep in my eyes and he said, "It's your time to follow me." I woke up on my dreams and I said to myself, okay, this is hallucinations, you know? This is hallucinations. I think that it's not true. Why Jesus come to me, you know? But in the next night, I got the same dream, the same details. I looked up to the sky, to the heavens once I woke up and I said, you know what? This is not a joke here. I challenge you, if you can come to me one more time with the same deacons, otherwise I will not think of you again. I thought that he would never come, but he came. And this time he looked deep in my eyes and he said, didn't I tell you It's your time to follow me. I woke up while I cannot believe that this is true. I cannot believe that God is so loving. God is so amazing. God is so open. He didn't care that I'm challenging him. He was not feeling attacked. He was not feeling insulted. He was feeling that I love this guy and I want him. So he just came to me.
I didn't wake up as a Christian, but I woke up as a man who is seeking the truth and knowing one thing, that this Jesus Christ is more than a prophet. This Jesus Christ is not what we think that he is. I was lucky to find someone to help me with that. And after 3 years, I got baptized in the name of Father, Son, Holy Spirit.
In the last days, people will have visions and dreams. It's one of the avenues by which God speaks to us. I remember a few years ago in my Sunday morning Bible class, I asked for a show of hands. There were probably 50, 60 people out there, and I said, how many of you honestly believe that at some point in your life, God gave you a dream? And I looked around and people were looking at each other, and pretty soon I started seeing this. And by about 30 seconds later, about 2/3 of the room had their hands up. It's one of the many ways that God wants to speak to us. And we have to be open to any of those ways. And then finally, some ways that, if we're going to be honest, how did he speak to people in Scripture? There are things that probably don't happen very often. Things like an audible voice. That's how God spoke to Saul of Tarsus, later to become Paul on that road to Damascus. An audible voice from heaven. Or angel visits. It says in Hebrews 13:2, do not forget to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing so, some people have shown hospitality to angels without even knowing it. I have as one of my stories, and one of the reasons that I'm a pastor in the first place is because a long time ago, I believe that I had a conversation with an angel. Sometimes God will speak to us through that means as well. Here's our very important point. Looking at all of these things, it's this. You and I were never created to do life on our own, to make decisions on our own. We were created and then recreated by Jesus Christ to live in intimacy with our Father, who wants to guide us each day into those things that are going to bless you, bless others, and bless his name. He wants to live in such intimacy with us that we are calling upon him each and every day in decisions, the major ones and the minor ones. And say, God, what should I do here? And then listen for that voice, however it's going to come. Now, why is this all possible? Well, we've been looking at this passage a couple of times in this sermon series. From Ephesians 2:13, it says, but now in Christ Jesus, you who were formerly far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. You see, none of this would be possible if Jesus hadn't come and lived that perfect life and then died on that cross to wash away all of our sins, because it says in Isaiah that our sins had separated us from God. And we could call out all day and there was no answer coming. But what Jesus did by washing away all of our sins is he brought us close to the Father. And now he's only a prayer away. And now he can speak to us in all different kinds of ways. What's his promise to us that we are to hold on to this week and for the rest of our lives? He's there. He's available. He wants to help us with our decisions. So let's include him in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
You've been listening to a sermon from St. John's Lutheran Church in Buffalo, Minnesota. If you would like more information about St. John's and any of our ministries to our community and beyond, you can go to our website, www.stjohnsbuffalo.org. Thank you, and God bless you.